And it's in keeping with, I was part of this thing called the Council of Unreasonable Women that was convened, I guess it was 2002. And from that, you know, many great women convened. It was great. The founder of Bioneers, Nina Simons, got a grant to fly really interesting women that she thought should meet. What a great, it was really great. Because incredible things came from that. Code Pink came from that. Because at the time on the radio, you know, again, satire is liberating. Sarcasm is imprisoning. Satire is liberating. You know, so at the time, you know, there were all the fear-inducing, you know, code red, right? So on the radio, I was declaring code hot pink, which is, remember, we're all in this dream together. And so Medea Benjamin and Jody Evans, you know, were like, we want to start a women's peace group. Oh, can we call it Code Hot Pink? And I go, sure, absolutely. But Code Hot Pink, it turns out, is a porno site. So they dropped the hot part, so it's Code Pink. But at that time, again, without hubris, without presumption, without deriving status, like I'm the great huzza, whatever, you know, at that time there was a terrible plan to store nuclear waste under Yucca Mountain in Nevada. And so I said, oh, women, without presumption, without hubris, without, you know, without expectation, let's invite Yucca Mountain to express her feelings. And the next day, there was huge earthquakes under Yucca Mountain, causing people to go, oop, maybe we won't store it there. So for us, the model is, the Venusian model is, cooperators are standing by, but the way we, part of the work of us here is, you know, they need to be invited from the vast darkness, you know, into, you know, inviting in, and that's what ritual and beauty and art are. Dedicated acts of beauty invite power into the world, you know, so inviting it in. So I think we should invite the earth to speak strongly now, this election cycle, in at least a harmful but powerful way. And it's also what I'm thinking of. You know, wonderful Janine Benyus, founder of Biomimicry, will be presenting at Bioneers. She's one of my favorite humans in the world because, you know, biomimicry is, rather than looting nature, as she says, why don't we borrow nature's recipes? And it's so beautiful, it makes you weep when you look at elegant, ingenious, good for everybody solutions. You go, that is so beautiful. You know, and that speaks across all borders to every heart, going, oh, we are pattern-tracking beings. You know, There was an experiment done to kind of wire human brains up as people put puzzle pieces in place, and it's just as exciting as an orgasm to our brain, going, ooh, ah. They also found that learning new words stimulates the same portion of the brain as an erotic orgasm, going, woo-hoo. So expanding our vocabulary, you know, language grants us access to the realm it describes. If we can speak of it, we can journey there. So expanded vocabulary, also part of indigenous understanding of eloquence, kins us. You know, the more we can speak, the more invitation. You know, so inviting Yucca Mountain to speak. Remember, it's also the Uwa people in Colombia. You know, and I ran into somebody last year in which I go, you told me this story, and it really is true, because I tell it all the time, right? She goes, yes, 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 and more things happen since you've been telling it. It goes on like that. But it was the Uwa people who were threatened by Standard Oil. That was going to destroy their lands, and they at first thought we will all kill ourselves and if our land that we love will die. And then they were like, no, wait a minute. So they did 6 months of ceremony in which they invited the oil to hide. And Standard Oil did 3 drills, came up dry, packed up and left. We go, right. So there's many ways to play. This idea of inviting our magical, spiritual, the wizards and witches of England, you know, into now. You know, the myths that guide Western culture, the Grail legend, the Arthurian legends, that was an experiment to have spiritual understanding and practice brought into wise governance. That was the dedicated part of the round table. And at the end of the Grail legend, the Arthurian legends, all the spiritual people left, right? Merlin goes off to traipse with the nymph. Arthur goes off to Avalon to take Pilates classes with the priestesses, you know, to await the world's call at a time of dire danger. And we go, now would be really good, you know, to invite in the positive masculine to dance with the positive feminine in equal. My friend Robin Kennedy says, what if the idea of matriarchy is a patriarchal concept? And we go, that's fun. You know, she said, what about actual equality? you know, that would look like a matriarchy because things are so out of balance. So in keeping with that, you know, I go, well, you know, storms, hurricanes, typhoons, which are increasing, you know, in nature, when conflicting forces come together, spirals ensue. And it's nature's way of resolving conflict. So may we be spiraling. When you look at cultures with spirals, you know that they are wisely attuned to nature. Spirals are associated with Venus. Venus forms, well, it's a longer story, but trust me on this. Spirals in Venus, again, the resolving of conflict in a dynamic way. What was my next thought? I'm inviting it back in. Oh, spirals, thank you, that's right. Oh, thank you. Spiral, that, yeah, sometimes it just takes a little bit of that, that's good. Thank you, Peanut Gallery, there we go. So the increasing storms that we're seeing, and we're going to be seeing more, are speaking to us about the enormity of discord. Remember, the word discord means against the heart. Dis, against, and cord is heart, discord. So the amount of, you know, the hugeness of the storms is speaking to us about the huge amount of conflict on every level, okay, physical, spiritual, emotional, you know, that we're giving to nature to resolve. So in keeping with beautiful story on Scotland, Scotland was saying, well, what is our wealth? And they go like, our terrible weather, yes. So because it's really wild and wet and windy. So Scotland is right on track with wind energy to be completely energy renewable, clean energy in 4 years. Right, by harnessing the problem, by going, no, over there we go. The problem contains the solution, if we look at it in an ingenious way. So I'm thinking of, you know, metaphoric biomimicry, and it's happening, and we just want to kind of align with that and turn it more into going, well, what's happened in the way that you know, Trump is pulling it forth, the enormous rise of Pussy Grabs Back. I love that song. It's on the internet. It's really good. Pussy Grabs Back. It's really good. And I like it more and more. For anybody who hasn't seen it, you know, it's out there. It's on Facebook, you know, whatever. But it's a great animation of Pussy Grabs Back. And it's got this wonderful, it gets to you more and more each time, too. It's these women's voices going quite fierce and strong, you know, and we're going to rock it on Pussy Grabs Back. We're going to rock it on November 8th. We're going to rock it. And I think that that's important regardless of our, Hillary. It's like, no. There's larger symbolism involved. And I go, this storm of powerful feminine, you know, metaphoric, you know, biomimicry going, right. It's this spiraling storm of everything feminine, regardless of our gender assignment. You know, everything going, no, not come. You know, the fierce feminine is a storm, a spiraling storm to resolve this conflict. But, you know, may it be arousing and powerful. And that's why in the theater of public discourse, you know, the gods backstage are like, approve, disapprove, you know, into the cauldron. We don't really care if you approve or disapprove with anything. Are you going to cooperate with it? Are you going to offer yourself to whatever's truly best here? So my feeling, you know, is a resounding defeat of the Dementor. And then we get to the next assignment. I just want to get to the next horrible problem, which is, you know, Hillary's elected. Okay, that's the next horrible problem, but I want to get there. I want us all to get there in a resounding, you know, good for the world kind of thing, going, all right, now we will speak to her. You know, because, see, the first debate was kind of magic. You know, and again, it's not presumption, you know, but our council's team and you know, Venus was right on Hillary's sun, Venus in Scorpio. The image for Hillary's sun, S-U-N, is happy house-raising party among Western pioneers. So I'm like, either win the election and do good or join Habitat for Humanity. You know, let's speak to the good in here. But Venus was right, Venus in Scorpio, which is, you know, the medieval men used to not like Venus in Scorpio because it's too sorceressy, too spicy, too pussy grabs back. Like, and so we were inviting Venus to back her up. Doesn't matter if we approve or disapprove. Back her up. Let the goodness, you know. And she was really composed, right? And I talked to a right-wing woman at a souvenir stand in Utah who's like, I've never voted, you know, you know, Democrat or I only vote Republican. I go, isn't it interesting that Utah's a swing state this year? And she's like, sure as hell is. Because the Mormons don't, I mean, befoibled and tyrannical and creepy in a lot of ways, but they don't like bad manners and they don't like one religion being singled out. So again, see, everything's befoibled. It's what are we speaking to in that? You know, so I had a, you know, I like talking across borders. And again, right-wingers are, I have found them to be more playful. If one approaches in a woof-woof, you know, not way. And see, this is where I also really want to encourage our team. You know, like when I was in Cleveland. So I was sitting at a table and this guy sitting down next to me, I go, what are you here for? And he goes, I'm border security. I'm here, I own a ranch along the border, I'm promise keepers, do you know what that is? And I go, well, you tell me. And see, it's always useful to throw something back going, you define that to me. What is your definition of being a conservative? What is your definition of whatever? He's like, so I'm here offering security, you know, whatever, and he tails and he goes, and, you know, Code Pink was going to do this terrible thing. I go, no, I know about Code Pink. They're not dangerous, really. He's like, oh, okay. Anyway, so we worked for a long time, and we bonded over the movie Enemy of the State, right, which is a great movie. He liked it, I liked it, we love Gene Hackman. So we were having a good time. And then a progressive ally, a friend of mine, a friend from the previous night, incipient friendship from Pacifica Radio, comes along and goes, hi, and I go, join us. And the minute she sits down, she faces off with this guy, you know, in that feminist tyranny way, going, no, you, listen to me. And I'm like, I just spent 20 minutes getting us into this jolly spiral, you know, and she's like, no, you know, and I go, you know, that's feminists who lose their sense of humor are the new patriarchy, you know, and then she's like, oh, I lost my phone, oh, I lost my thing, oh, I lost, and then she goes off and she said, you know, that woman's awfully disorganized. In a crisis situation, I'd have to save you and sacrifice her. And go, secretly kind of happy about that. But it's like, well, maybe you could save her too. He's like, I don't know, she wants to be saved. And anyway, so you know, when we left, he's like, you know, I hope it never comes to this, but if you ever need bailing out of a violent situation, I'll help you. And I go, all right. So, you know. So I go, you know, just, you know, the angle of the thing, you know. Anyway, so there's all that, and that was I was going off there. I had another point over here. Do you know what it was? Anyway, okay, spiraling. Okay, coming back to the thing. Whatever, invite another. Okay, something about that. But does anybody want to bring anything up right now in our alleged Yeah.
Hi,
I
just to bring us back to point, and it was hot, and I kind of lost the thought. But I'm not clear on how the con is different or mingles with the trickster. Because people talk a lot about the con of Emperor Has No Clothes and the con artist of Trump and people that he's connected in with and that energy, but somehow I got the trickster like as a con. I just need to hear it again.
No, it's good. It's good to clarify. Because even, you know, I'm willing to kind of boldly take on all kinds of stuff because I am, for my journey and my definition of trickster, to me, trickster is only liberating, you know. And so there are all those, you know, stories about, you know, a trickster loses his dick or a trickster does this thing or the trickster comeuppance or Wile E. Coyote, whatever. And I go, I think even though when those sometimes come from indigenous cultures, I go, those are colonial, I think. You know, I'm willing to go bold here. And so for me, anyway, the con will look, you know, will have the allure of the trickster. Why people are magnetized by Trump, going, oh, yeah, he's defiant, you know. And the trick, and see, it was simpler. It would have been so much more fun, but we compost our disappointment, if it was Bernie and Trump. It's like, oh, man. Yes. Yeah, I know, okay, we're all like, oh, no. But that's not our assignment.
Too easy.
Too easy, right? And we go, no, right? Too much fun. Because it's true, I mean, we have a little moment of wafting going, oh man, the Bernie-Trump debate, and it's like, that would have been just so deeply satisfying. Okay, but that's not our assignment. Because magic's a willingness to work with everything. And they go, no, the gods go, no, this is more difficult, try this. They go, and so it's also a changing of minds. Like, as I mentioned on radio, I was so, you know, at Rachel Maddow and all the kind of, you know, liberals in their obedience collar about how they treated Bernie. I was like, yeah. You know, but then where's the blessing, Caroline? You know, may you rip off your obedience collar, you know, and run free, you know, and so it's not quite, but, you know, and Rachel was punished by being forced to work with discredited doofus Brian Williams, but in this kind of obedience, obeisant kind of supplicant, brown nose kind of way, and it's cringy, but she's kind of coming back a little bit into her own, so I have to, I choose to, I want to change my mind about her and not imprison her in her bad deeds, you know, because I love redefining forgive as to mean to give energy for change, because then who couldn't we forgive, you know, we can forgive Trump, you know, if it means give energy for change. So I forgive, and see, the I think part of this expanded tolerance is going, all right, I was really, you know, about, you know, mainstream media and thing. We go, right, okay, got your goat, let's get the goat back, you know, and then how to love everything, you know, in a non-wimpy, fully informed way. It's like compassion with sizzle. It's not like, oh, everything's great because you don't know anything. It's like, no, we see, you know, and we're voting for this part of this person. Oh, and also, it's why on Twitter I call Trump Trumpelstiltskin. Hashtag Trumpelstiltskin. Because, you know, to invite in the fairy tale. I don't know if you remember Rumpelstiltskin, you know, at the end. This would also be a good November 8th finale. Remember, he is so frustrated at not being able to impose his tyranny on the woman hero that he stamps his foot so much that he breaks through the podium and descends into the underworld. I go, I like that. You know, to be redeemed, of course, in a future, you know, Buddhist paradise. But again, you know, what would be fun? And we just want to prime the pump and practice with each other, going, now that might be too mean, but actually it's kind of fun. You know, again, and what else do you got? You know, and what other images, you know, what would be desirable? Because the protoplasm of reality, especially receptive to imaginative imprint and cooperators standing by, you know, what quality do we want to invite in? You know, and that means also, you know, in difficult situations, whether they're public or not, I know this, you know, on rare occasions when, you know, every now and then going on mainstream TV for some weird reason, you know, but backstage in the green room, you know, just the simple vow, you know, guide me to be a responsible voice for the team, you know, and to not be snookered into polarity and to only answer the questions I wish they'd asked. Right? And then watching, recordings going, God, I was really better than me. You know, there was something that was like, no, don't touch that. Don't, you know, don't do that thing. And just like, again, Pharaoh's heart, you know, what moves people. It's like, you know, when I did, you know, use all my business, all my frequent flyer, you know, miles to upgrade to business class so I could talk to warmongers. And it worked, that was my intention, and it really worked, right? You know, by the whatever the thing is, you know, grant, you know, feed me a warmonger to dance with so I can test these things. And, you know, I've said this before, but let me bring it up again. So the first time I did that, it was three times. The first time I did that, it was a Cisco Systems guy. And he was talking about, you know, face recognition software and stuff. And I'm like, oh, and he goes, no, it's really a value neutral technology. I'm like, keep me off your list. And he said, we have all the contracts for Iraq. And I go, and when did you get those? And he's like, ooh, October of 2000. Right? I'm like, wow. Bastards. They were already planning the invasion of Iraq in 2000 before they won the election. You know, that was rigged. You know, it's like that. There is a rigging. We just got, you know, it's not the... So, but by the end of the plane flight, he was quitting his job and starting a bed and breakfast. So my work was done there. The next guy was, you know, who are you? And you must be a right-wing warmonger, because that's my intention. And he said... you know, I teach military intelligence, you know, at Berkeley, you work for Pacifica Radio, you must think I'm a terrible person. And I was like, no. And he's like, no? Okay, let's talk. We had a pretty good time again. See, if we're not judgy, discernment liberating, judgment imprisoning. You know, we want to offer, you never corner a mugger, is the New York phrase. You want to leave somebody a spirally way out. And he said, you know, he was in charge in the first Gulf War of a major destroyer and the thing that... And I said, well, I think that all war is a failure of imagination. And he said, I can't go that far. I go, how about this war? And he goes, Yeah, this war for sure. And where I like to go, you know, and in my own evolving, I go, you know, all war is a failure of imagination. It's like, so where's your blessing, Caroline? Then all peace is a triumph of imagination, right? And it's like, oh, there we go. There's the complete thing. And so, you know, so he was up for that. The third, okay, more difficult. The third, my seatmate was a CEO of Northrop Grumman. And I did get harumphy, rattling my newspaper, going, and he's like, why are you so harumphy? And I go, well, you know, I'm wondering, how do we grow an economy based on peace rather than war? And he sighed. He went, oh, I wonder that too. And I know it's not from the top, because I'm at the top. And then he said, you know, we were still a little grumpy with each other. He said, but I'll tell you what moves my heart, something you've probably never heard of, called the Heifer Project. And I go, I do know what that is. You know, it's where you give $25 and you buy a goat for a family in a village, you know. And he said, that's what really moves me. I'm like, wow, the tyrannical kill millions, you know, war profiteer, he wants to give a goat to a family. All right, so there's the thing, right? And with, not with him, that was a little too hard, but with the other guys, I could, you know, could, again, what I was inviting to come through me, you know, in a non-harumphy way was, you know, the only solution to terrorism is a wonderful life for all children. And they were like, yep, that's it. So then you spiral into the thing, and then you can spiral out into the thing. You know, and that idea of influence, which is another word that comes from astrology, influence enters English language from astrology, influence, which is part of my dedication to expand our vocabulary when people talk about, I really want to have an impact, right? And I go, a short, violent encounter, really? Wouldn't you rather have a long-term, curvy influence, you know? There we go, you know, curves, you know, pussy curves back, you know? You know, curves and spike, you know? In all beautiful, like, you know, indigenous art, you know, in the Southwest, for instance, you have these fantastic vases, you know, within the curves are the jaggedy cliffs and canyon shapes and stuff, but always embraced by the curves, you know. So curves, you know, in our repertoire, maybe we have jagged, spiky things, you know, but again, always embraced by the curve, by the, you know, and the well-wishing, the fierce blessing, remembering we're allowed and encouraged to spiral into the world, fierce blessings, provided we would also be the happy recipient of such, right? And the example I always use, but, you know, Wanda Sykes, I mean, I love her, but when Rush Limbaugh said he wanted Obama to fail, she said, well, I want Rush Limbaugh's kidneys to fail. and we go, that's fun, but Trickster would go, because you don't want that to happen to you, Trickster would say, may Rush Limbaugh's kidneys work so well that they flush all the poison out of him and leave him in a pool of befuddled innocence. We go, that's more fun, right? So again, the fierce blessing, you know, may it go so well for you, you know, that, you know, such and such. So that's part of our play. Anybody else want to contribute? Oh, goody. Goody. Yeah.
I don't mean this as a challenge to you at all, because I absolutely beat you. I want you to enlighten me, because I'm thinking, if we can move mountains and tell oil to hide from drills, why couldn't we do an even bigger miracle and elect somebody who would actually benefit the country? I mean, I'm just saying that.
Yeah. No, that's important. It's important. It's important. No, that is one of the crucial things.
I just want enough to guide me.
Well, you know, it's a worthy conundrum, you know, that we're all addressing, going, I go back to, you know, important in the narrative of our journey, I loved Bernie. I love Bernie now. I loved what was going on. It was like, oh, the miracle. And I love Bernie for his wizardry, for his Old Testament Isaiah quality, and as my guest was saying, you know, he might be Moses, he might not get to the promised land, but he's leading us. And I go, I prefer Isaiah, speak to the weary, a word that will rouse us. You know, and so I was just wildly enthused about Bernie, and very grumpy about the con, you know, and how Bernie and the Bernie supporters were treated at the DNC, and all of that. And so going, you know, and yeah, my coyote and I would, you know, watch the Bernie-Hillary debates, and not in complete accord with our own etiquette, both the coyote and I would get up and go, "You dingbat, Hillary," going, "Who could possibly imagine me as an establishment candidate?" It's like, no, you just go, Bernie. And what I admire about Bernie and trust now, see, this is here is the interesting thing, is that Bernie was so good at the wizardry of our magic mirror. The secular critic holds up a mirror and goes, "Ah, it's terrible, it really sucks in detail." And then with a wave of the hand turns it into a window, "Look how beautiful it could be." And then another wave of the hand turns it into a door, "Let's go." Bernie was so good at that. So in our script, that was not to be, with some cons and whatever, and also the kind of larger dharma. So what I did notice, again, and in the mystery play of our own composting of herumptitude, so even, Bernie at the convention, right, his supporters booed him, right? And I go, and it's also like now, the Bernie sites on Facebook, I've actually pulled back because there's this ricochet of, and now the former Bernie supporters are like, well, Bernie sold out, and Elizabeth Warren sold out, and Michael Moore sold out, and, Rudd sold out, and we're going to vote for somebody who's polling at 1%, even though she has no language skills whatsoever. I can't help myself. Okay. She's kind of polarity, and I've been elbowed by her. Arr! Okay, composting. So nobody's perfect. That seemed, and go back to like, all right, Caroline, magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything. So when Bernie says, we ain't play acting now, children, yes, nobody is more disappointed than me, but, here's the deeper strategy. So my prayer, again, has always been, and we leave it to great mystery, may Bernie be danced into a place of greatest influence. Right? And his chart is hopping now, right? And so the wind that filled his sails is not going away. But nor do we want it to be kidnapped into vituperative hatred, which is part of the mystery play initiation. So many of the former Bernie people are like, I mean, Philadelphia was full of more hatred than Cleveland, right? There was more people, more kind of young progressive people in the streets going, "Lock her up, lock her up." And I said to my Secret Service escort, who was guiding me out of the convention for a number of reasons, but I like backstage, so I had a DNC escort, because it was actually fine, but I was being decredentialed and booted out, but it was okay. And so the DNC guy was, and then he peels off, and the Secret Service guy, we're backstage, right? I mean, he's escorting me out. And when I tried to sneak back in, he's like, ma'am, you're the most colorful person here. You can't just sneak back in. Yeah. So but jolly, right? I mean, with a smile, right? I said, he said, "Strange DNC guy," and I go, "Yeah, like zero affect. Space bugs." And I said, "The DNC sure is pretty thin-skinned." He's like, "You got that right." He said, "It's their party. We just do what they ask," kind of thing. But as we approached, I said, because I met wonderful people on the street. There's Ken, the free hugs guy, who's this really hip black guy who really does go up to police. And because he's authentic, they melt in his arms. Mm-hmm. The police melt in his arms. And there were other people doing beautiful work. And I said to the Secret Service guy, I go, I refuse to be called an elder and shake my cane at these young people. I'm willing to be a maven. And he goes, and I said, but for a lot of these people, this is their first rodeo. And they're not metabolizing disappointment well because they're being snookered into hatred. And I said, but there are some really great people out there. And the Secret Service guy said, not in the first three rows, right? Which is true, because the first three rows were like, not peace people. We are agents of peace. And it's like the deeper assignment now is, can we really integrate it with difficult choices? So if our dedication is, may Bernie be moved to the place where he can be most influential, we go, if the Democrats take the Senate, Bernie is head of the Budget Committee, which is huge, maybe even more powerful than president, according to Trickster. If the Democrats take the Senate, Elizabeth Warren could be Senate Majority Leader. What if in the mystery play, if we can compost our herumphitude going, never Hillary, no, I will not compromise my conscience and whatever the thing is. And again, the Bedouins and everybody goes, how large is your conscience? How many beings does it embrace? So it is a difficult, at first it was kind of a poison pill, like, oh. But I think it's the larger initiation, you know, and a kind of experimental trust, not believing, but a kind of experimental trust. If I did, what if, you know, and I began, you know, writing the mythic headlines, going, you know, because this is what we want to do. November 8th, you know, the mythic headlines are, it's as though Bernie won, so great was the elected tide of progressive kick-butt women. Zephyr, truth out from illegitimate. But, you know, it's like against all odds, but let's go for that thing. You know, let's make budget, you know, head of the budget committee, which is all money, let's make Senate Majority Leader more powerful than the president. And if he's willing to back her, rather than go, oh, bad Bernie, you know, tantrum yoga. I call that tantrum yoga. You know, unworked out issues with daddy. You know, it's like if he's willing to, he deserves some respect. And respect, as a word, means to look at again, re is again, inspect is look. Rather than like, oh, daddy disappointed us, I'm like, work it out, you know. But I acknowledge it because I also felt that way, and that is you know the kind of honesty. But that that's a really important good thing to bring up. It's at the heart right here, and it isn't. I mean, it's challenging for all of us, but for you to bring it up is a wonderful offering. Absolutely, thank you. Because it's crucial. It's in our dynamic, and it is a conundrum that we all want to work with. But the hyper-reactivity, points to the snookering of the former Bernie supporters into quoting right-wing conspiracy theories. I love conspiracy, but the right-wing conspiracy theories and beginning to quote the toxin of Breitbart News, you know. And even you know, we get into all these kind of complex taboo things, but. But I go, yeah, you know, even Julian Assange, you know, he was a very bad date. He might not have committed rape, but he was one of those guys who got into bed with women who said, please put on a rubber, and he said no. So it's not exactly rape, but it's kind of part of that thing over there in a kind of dynamic. And why leaking? Yes, we should know everything. But what is the, you know, and again, we're presented with incredible complexity. Mm. You know, it's like, oh, the Russian thing, and then the Russian TV, right, which is supporting a lot of progressive programs. But again, I've met a lot of those people, like the Young Turks and everything, and they're very kind of bull primate. I saw a fist fight in Cleveland between the Young Turk guy and InfoWars Alex Jones going, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, and I go, you know, children, provocable, you know, so. Yeah, it is, you know, so RT, you know, Russian TV, does support a lot of progressive programs that are kind of fun, but they've gotten increasingly strident and oppositional, I would say, not wise. Again, the Arthurian legends to invite spiritual practice, not in a wuzzy-wuzzy detached way, but into actual governance. You know, and I've met, you know, I did reading for a quite wonderful woman who flew to Washington for her reading, you know. She's like, I'm a major manifester. I manifest things. I don't, you know, money always comes. I do this and that. But I stay completely out of politics, and I'm not going to vote. I go, but you flew to Washington to see me, so in the mythic fairy tale, that must mean something. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, why don't you imbue your act of voting with dedicated magic by the pulling of this lever, may it be that this. And she's like, oh, I could do that. Vote to vote come from the same thing. I go, I could do that. And I go, and it's got to be Hillary. Anyway, but, you know, whatever your wise thing. But I do want to bring up, because it's, you know, it's a class two river with class five consequences. You know, anything, we don't want to get too comfortable here. You know, and in 1930s Germany, there was so much yoga and spirituality, you know, and channeling and bookstores like this, you know, there were. It was a huge rising of spiritual practice in 1930s Germany, but like, no, I don't want to pollute myself with politics. So it was completely clueless about actual danger, and unlike the witches and wizards of England, was not effectively prepared to dissolve the evil. So I ardently seek to magnetize voting. And, you know, the Danish people coming over here going, no, we don't agree with Hillary about lots of things, we hate fracking, but really, America, really, you cannot unleash this toxic demon on the world And in Denmark, they have 90% voter turnout. We are, like, you know, and again, you know, I think, you know, in a more complex way, to be able to come and vote for a befoibled candidate who's, you know, 4 out of 5 out of 10 things one disagrees with, is an evolutionary challenge to protect the world. I think it's like the wizards and witches weaving a spell over England to protect it from the Nazi invasion, just on a literal and symbolic level. And then to speak to yes, I threw this ball up several miles back, and here it is again. Let me help if I can catch it. When I was talking to the right-wing Utah souvenir seller who's never voted for Democrat before, you know, and she's like, blah, blah. And I said, but did you watch the first debate? You know, and she goes, I did. And I said, wasn't that amazing that really for the first time ever, Hillary was kind of relaxed and poised and authentic, like she actually had an authentic smile as opposed to a scary death mask. You know, and I said, and the greatest miracle of all, she was likable. And the woman said, you're right, it was a bleeping miracle. And I go, you know, whatever we, and she's, you know, so as I went out, having bought my little souvenir thing at the hole in the wall outside Moab, I was like, remember to vote. And she goes, I will. And I'm going to vote Democrat just for women.
Wow.
Right-wing Utah Mormon, you know? Yeah.
I think that's a little predictive, because one thing...
a little predictive.
Well, when Hillary was Secretary of State, she was the most traveled...
Louder.
Oh, yes. Here, take a... Okay.
Hillary was Secretary of State. She was the most traveled in history. And wherever she went, she connected to women's issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so funny that we can't really talk about that this is going to be the first female president, because it's the gift, it's the hidden gift in all of this. And she's been demonized. She's a Saturn. She's not likable because she's got the weight of the world on her shoulders, so there's that edge. But when it comes to women, I think that was predictive for women. Something's going to, very profound is going to happen for women's issues all over the world.
I think that's right. And again, you know, as an incredible experiment in molecular organization, she is a formidable force.
Yeah.
I mean, like, my God, you know, as Eddie Izzard said, you know, look at... Look at evil. Look at evil schedule. Deaf, deaf, deaf. Tea. Deaf, deaf. Lunch. We can hardly get down to the gym. You know, and you go, oh my God, she's organized. You know, what if we were that organized and disciplined? You know, and it's true. You know, the dedication to women standing up in China around it. So again, whatever we speak to, we go. You know, again, dog whisper. No, no, no. Drop the fracking. No. Over here. Who's a good Hillary? Yes, you are. Was a, you know. If expediency, you know what we said on the air today, if expediency is for befoiblement, let it be our strategy. That's, I think, the mystery play assignment to us. You know, for all of us, we're not going to get a person savior, you know, or to outsource our autonomy to. You know, we are inaugurating a guiding story and going here and gathering support for that. Gathering support for that, and that's kind of the political game. You know, Obama told friends of mine, you know, who met with him backstage, because this woman's life was saved by Obamacare, mine too. You know, and yes, it's befoibled, but still. you know, she brought her woman wife partner, and he said, you know, yeah, absolutely, thank you, because he asked her to speak to introduce him, and he said, you know, politics, you know, when it was 51% in favor of gay marriage, I can do that. Our task is to get 51% in favor of sane reverence. Then Hillary will do that. And that's the larger assignment. Going, no, we don't get the great soaring rhetoric. We don't get the easy, you know, unconflicted thing. We get the conflicted, discerning thing, like what we're doing now. Going right, okay. So it's back to us to animate the desirable story of sane reverent renaissance, and go, this is. You know, you're good at getting stuff done. She's really good at governance. You know, some sketchy stuff, but she's really good at getting stuff done. She knows about governance. And so we go, here, get this done. You know, and we will support you if you do this. You know, but it's not, yeah?
Sorry.
Oh, you're just stretching.
No, I do want to ask.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Can you talk about, after you finish with the Hillary, can you talk about Islam a bit?
Ah, sure. Well, part of the mystery of our affinity, right, even as a little girl with no support for this whatsoever growing up in Washington, D.C. I always loved the call to prayer. Like that yearning, la Akbar. I was like, whoa. And Middle Eastern music. And just for some curious affinity going, oh, the yearning, the incredible beauty. So somebody brought to my house a great rabbi, Rabbi White, who's now an ancestor, alas, and help us. And he was a big deal rabbi. He was head of rabbinical studies at Georgetown. But he was very playful. And he was a scholar of Egyptian and Hebraic magic. And so I said, well, you seem pretty tolerant. Let me run this by you. And I said, I think of the Abrahamic religions as like shipwrecks on which barnacles and beautiful corals have grown. And he said, that's perfect. So, you know, there's Joseph Campbell, great mentor, who had a great exit line right before he died on Halloween, stylish to the end. So he said, the problems in the Middle East give evidence of the mythological bankruptcy of the three Abrahamic religions. Gotta go! Whoa! Okay. So I love the Middle East. When I went to mosques in Syria, I was always well met. I mean, you wear the thing, but people were like, love your hair. I love the beauty in there. I love Islamic art. In the Grail legend, Percival can only attain the Grail and save the world when he finds his half-black, half-white Islamic twin brother. Mm-hmm. So it's about, we need everything. We need the beauty in everything. And so I find tremendous beauty in Islam. And also the reframing of refugees into pilgrims. Yeah, we spoke about this. Meaning, so whatever we have an affinity for is kind of our assignment to be its storyteller. You know, in all of our diversity, who brought what to this party. So I've always loved the aesthetic of the Middle East. You know, for whatever mysterious reason, going that incredible yearning and the Sufi dynamic of the yearning and the wit and the liberating quality. And when I went to Syria, I finally had the opportunity to go to Syria before the cataclysm. And my friend Deborah, who lived there, married to Muawiyah, lived there until fairly recently. But it was interesting because she took me to all these places with an incredible urgency, as though she knew. When we drove up to Aleppo, she said, "Mashallah, it's still here." As though she knew. And so when we went through a Bedouin village, I was telling you about this too, we go to a Bedouin Islamic village. It's windswept and cold and bitter. There's no Westerners and no cars around. And my friend Deborah says, let's just knock on a door and ask to see their beehive houses because they're incredibly constructed. And I was like, really? You know? And she's like, yeah, it's fine. So we knock on a door of a stranger, and this beautiful woman looks out with 10 babies in her arms, and she goes, yes. And then she goes, strangers, how wonderful. This is desert Bedouin manners. Come in, let me make you coffee and cakes. And we go, no, we just want to see, you know, this thing. So the oppressor is really seeking the blessing and the medicine of what they oppress. I like to work with that. You know, England needed the metaphysic of India, but it's colonized. I think America really needs the beauty of Arab, Persian, Islamic countries underneath, with the equal feminine. And you go, okay, now in Syria, it was so beautiful because there was incredible respect for women. We could walk around the streets at 2 a.m. in Aleppo, no problem. When we were going to this beautiful monastery, this 6th century monastery outside Damascus, it's okay. We got lost because it's complicated. And so Deborah stops at a shop and asks the man, and he goes, wait, 5 of my men friends are coming over. We'll get into a car, and you follow us out into the desert. And I'm like, really? And Deborah said, no, I've been here 12 years. I've never had any problem at all. Once a hitchhiker took some change from my backseat, but that's it. You know, and we follow these guys out into the desert, and go, make a well for you. Every part of, Islamic and Middle Eastern culture, is the day is woven together with blessing. And, you know, we stop at a truck stop with this beautiful food, incredible food, and people praying, and just the small things that are so moving. The young boy waiter says to Deborah, "Anything else, madam?" And she goes, "Salam tek, only your peace." It's like, I love that. You know, anything else, only your peace, right? So I think the reframing, see, to take Bedouin culture, to reframe the incredible intelligence and depth and compassion and artistry of Syrian culture, and to reframe refugees as pilgrims. Because see, in Bedouin culture, you know, if we were to absorb that medicine, we would say, oh, you refugee pilgrims, you must have gone through so much, endured so much, traveled so hard, you must have stories to tell us, and those must be the stories that we need to hear. It would be a welcoming. If we were more Bedouin, you know, again, you know, it's like spiritual forces yearn to syncretize, you know, Middle Eastern, Southwestern, you know, in our aesthetic, or, you know, the beauty of the good parts of Islam. I mean, when we go back far enough, you know, I go, you know, Muhammad goes out into the desert, maybe eats mushrooms, comes back, thinks he's crazy. His wife, who is older, who's employing him, she's a successful woman entrepreneur, says, no, it's a religion, you know. But he comes back with rules, and I say to Deborah, you know, you go out into the desert, you have a mystical experience, and you come back with rules? What the hell is that? And then it goes through these kind of evolving. So, you know, but not dissimilar from Christianity. I love Alan Watts saying the problem with Western people and Christianity is that they suck the finger instead of going where it pointed, right? And so to respect, to find the beauty in it. But what was the quality of your question? What was the...
I think you answered it.
Oh, okay.
Just, you know, it's obviously like a dual thing going on, you know, obviously this war. And so I wanted you to speak to that third quality.
Yeah, and I think we do because, you know, in the debates also when everybody, including Hillary, goes to, and we're going to have to do, and it's like, more Venus, less Mars, more Venus, less Mars. Well, you know, again, the conundrum in Syria, like, oh my God. Because it is, you know, these things that do not go as we would want, but are more complex. Because when Arab Spring was rising and the protests start to happen in Syria, I said to my Syrian friends, or two of them, this is great, right? And they're like, oh no, you'll see the opposition, it's you know, in less dire ways, it's kind of related here. The opposition is not coherently disciplined and organized enough. It's going to open the door for hatred, and every mercenary in the world will come here, and it will be horrible, which is why we're backing Assad, all right? And I was like, oh, Assad, you know. And then later it was like, oh, they were right, you know, the more complex, less desirable thing, like, oh, and like the election, oh, the more complex thing, you know, the desirable thing, no, but the more complex thing is our assignment. And so Syria is a huge conundrum. I think where we bring our spiritual vitality into play, you know, is we spend a great deal of time in Palmyra and Aleppo, which are all gone now. And in Palmyra, our guide, beautiful, you know, guide takes us to the Temple of Baal. And he says, you know, it's been here for thousands and thousands of years, and this is why it will always be safe. Because in the architecture, they put brass bolts in surrounded by lead. So when there's an earthquake, the lead liquefies and the whole building moves. And that's how they kept themselves physically safe. And they kept themselves spiritually safe because all religions are welcome. You can see there's Islam, there's Christianity, there's everything is here. And that's why it will always be safe until now. So the poignancy. So when the Bamiyan Buddhas were destroyed by the Taliban in Afghanistan, like, oh, and when the incredible Temple of Baal, this temple dedicated to human tolerance, was destroyed, I like to encourage going, ah, the grief, but may it be that the beautiful dedication, you know, invisibly imbued in these structures, be liberated to waft around the world by the destruction of the form. And I think that's where we use all of our physics metaphysics to engage, you know, and to blessing poker. I mean, what Deborah Feldman lived in Syria, you know, she's always been ardent about her love of Syria and blessings, you know, and saying, You know, and so I came up with the term, you know, blessing poker. May it go well for you. May it go even more well for you. May orange blossoms, you know, waft your path. You know, may orange blossoms and, you know, evening of light waft your, you know. So more blessing, more beauty poker. Wherever there's war, may there be more beauty. You know, here's an act of beauty, an art of beauty from our culture that is beautiful. Here's an even more beautiful thing from our culture, from Palestinians, from Israelis. Beauty, beauty, beauty. So more music, more syncretism, more Venusian guiding Mars foreign policy. May it be so. May we be agents of that. So does anybody else want to bring something up before we deconvene? Anything is welcome. Challenging things, sure.
There was the moment where the sun came into the square with the Pluto and Uranus, which have already moved on.
Mm-hmm.
But that was right at the time that this whole toxic thing erupted.
Which, the women thing?
Yeah. And I was looking at that, and it occurred to me the feeling was just like that it was stimulating the release of the toxins. It was a volcanic expulsion of this underground misogyny coming out into the open. And the timing of that really struck me.
Yeah, purgative. No, that's a great thing to bring up. I mean, we do have the Mars-Pluto conjunction, which was exact over the last night's tedious what passes for debate. But it then behooves us, exactly as you're saying, you know, Mars-Pluto says, yes, it is a purging, you know, throwing things into the cauldron and ladling out the liberated blessing. But it's also about initiation. Because there was a reporter who'd spent a lot of time with Daesh, which is the real name for ISIS. Although, because we're stuck with ISIS, we might as well embrace it. Mm-hmm. But every time people say the word ISIS, it is actually the goddess of nature that they're invoking. So the group ISIS is actually going, save us from our own tyranny, O goddess of the earth. It's like Barack Obama means bless the good. Mm-hmm. So even when right-wingers are going, oh, Barack Obama, they're still blessing the good. In that way, so what the reporter who spent a lot of time with ISIS, goddess of the earth, Daesh really, was saying is their recruiting is so joyful. That's why I could snooker the right-wing Baptist guy. Because they're like, come, join us to have a noble mission to save the world. And we will give you health insurance, which they do, and benefits, and support your family. I mean, it's better than Obamacare. And he said it's incredibly effective and joyful. It's the con, right? It's the toxic mimic. But everyone wants to be invited to a noble purpose. You know, Mars Pluto says everybody wants a mission. You know, and so we've allowed, you know, because the essence of initiation was always, you know, come, we need you to help build Stonehenge. We need you to create the Renaissance. We need your unique skills. Come, help us. But what's fallen into disrepair is like, you know, because you. To be an initiator, you have to love what you do. We love what we do. Come, find what you love and do. But most people here is we hate what we do. You get lost and go to the malls or, you know, whatever the thing is, or have the toxic mimic of a mission in gangs or ISIS or Daesh. We want to understand that it's a pure desire that got people snookered. And so it behooves us to animate the more, come, we need everybody. We need the beauty of Islam and the beauty of Christianity and the beauty of paganism and the beauty of atheism. We need everybody right now to do this fantastic thing. And that's why we're, you know, by the power of Trickster, you know, wafting everyone out into the world to be efficient inviters. So there's just two things I want to, you know, play with, two short things as we deconvene here. So I love the writings of Terry Pratchett. I love Blessed Animist, who wrote so many novels. And there's so much pertinent to campaign coverage. Right now, like the young girl witch in I Shall Wear Midnight, she has to dissolve the power of the cunning man who conjures mob mind. When we say things like, I don't know what got into me, I don't know why I said that, it's mob mind, right? Possession is a metaphor. That's really useful. But for our purposes, the very last novel he wrote as he was dying, such an act of great goodness, and he's got his young girl witch, his wonderful young girl witch, and forces of badness are entering the world, and the fairy queen is actually bad, but she turns sides. And she says to the witches, you have no idea of what you're up against, the power of toxic glamour. And the witches are like, we're witches, that's not going to be a problem. And the fairy queen, who's turned into the good person, says, let me just give you a little dose. And they all go, they all get inflated. They're like, I am the special beloved of Saint Germain, and nobody is more of a priestess than me, and I am fantastic, and if I, you know, the ring of power, right? And if a woman had the ring of power, then that would be good. And then they go, oh, but I'm really nothing. I'm a worm. I'm a whatever the thing is. And they go, wow, that was really strong. And the fairy princess says, see what you're up against. And then she teaches them, that's right, we know it's this chant, Yon Ton Tethera, which I'm informed by a learned colleague is in We Free Men language just means 1, 2, 3. But you know, the magic is the mundane. And so Yon Ton Tethera dispels the toxic mimic of false glamour. So just for us to, a couple times, you know, on the count of three, Yon Ton Tethera, Yon Ton Tethera, Yon Ton Tethera. Fantastic. And the last wonderful word I love is an Amharic word, Aizan. And again, we need all these languages, we need everything, we need diversity, we need all this beautiful thing. So Aizan, Amharic word, it means support and encouragement to embrace the challenge when embarking on a difficult journey. So let's bless each other with Aizan. Aizan! 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 Woof woof, thank you, team.